Norse mythology in God of War. Norse mythology is not nearly as widespread in popular culture as something like Greek mythology, but in recent years it has experienced a boost in popularity throughout movies, television shows, and of course, video games. The 2018 God of War game, developed by Santa Monica Studio, is easily one of the most notable examples, going much further than just including casual references or dropping names, instead featuring a full-fledged exploration of Norse culture and mythology. While there's simply far too many references and connections to include in one video, this video should provide a suitable summary for those who have played God of War and are interested in seeing the similarities and differences from what we know of Norse mythology. As a warning, this video will include major spoilers for the game, including the ending, so make sure to finish the game first if that bothers you. As a side note, I'll be using pronunciations from the game for clarity, regardless of whether or not they are correct. To begin with, we should look at the various settings of the game and their interpretations of the mythology. To start, you have the human realm of Midgard, where the majority of the game takes place. Midgard, meaning middle enclosure, is the world of mankind created and protected by the gods. In Norse mythology, Midgard is meant to be Earth, at least as the Norse peoples viewed it, surrounded by a massive ocean. Bordering this ocean, the gods placed a huge wall, protecting Midgard from the potential invasion of the Jotnar, also called giants. Midgard is not often mentioned in the mythological tales, but Odin, the Allfather, would often wander among the realms, including Midgard, and the god Heimdall would also visit Midgard to dine with couples and sleep with them. The God of War version of Midgard is a beautiful and cold land, filled with icy mountains, dark forests, and land largely untouched by civilization. While the exact dating of the game is unknown, we do know that this realm of Midgard is meant to predate the Vikings. As we delve further into the various events and entities present in the game, we'll see that they have strayed quite a bit from historical accuracy, for good reason. Along their travels, Kratos and his son come to the center of Tyr's temple, where they find roots of the World Tree, and are given a Bifrost in order to travel between realms. Using this Bifrost, which contains the light of Alfheim, Kratos can travel to a number of other realms, or worlds, such as Alfheim, Muspelheim, and Helheim. Tyr's temple, located in the middle of the Lake of Nine, has a bridge that physically rotates to align with a tower associated with each realm. Some of the realms are blocked by Odin's magic, and Jotunheim especially has been locked away. In Norse mythology, the Bifrost is a burning rainbow bridge that only connects Midgard to Asgard, the realm of the Aesir gods. The gods use the Bifrost to travel to Midgard, but it is hot enough to burn the feet of any other creature that sets foot on it. Most of the other realms are accessible by physically traveling there, whether by foot, flight, or boat, and the gods will often travel between realms, although generally they stick to Asgard, Midgard, or Jotunheim. As for Yggdrasil, or the World Tree, it is the center of the Norse cosmology, and it holds all of the nine realms among its branches. Alfheim is the first alternate realm that Kratos and Atreus visit, and is presented as a gorgeous world of vivid colors and elven architecture, focused around a grand temple spilling out the mythical light of Alfheim. When Kratos arrives, the realm has been taken over by the Dark Elves, and much of it has been corrupted by dark growths. Kratos and Atreus end up killing the Dark Elf King, and the Light Elves return to power in Alfheim. You learn that Alfheim is the home of both Dark and Light Elves, and they have been warring over control of the Light for a long, long time. Unfortunately, almost none of this has any basis in Norse mythology, and has been largely fabricated for the sake of the game. We know very little of what the Norse peoples believed of Alfheim, and what we do know tends to be contradictory and fragmented. Alfheim was certainly the realm of the Elves, as the name means Home of the Elves, but what exactly the Elves were is a bit of a mystery. One source describes them as being more beautiful than the sun, but some scholars believe this to be an attempt at introducing the concept of Christian angels to Norse mythology, as this source was written by a Christian author. Dark elves are described by this source to be blacker than pitch, living underground. It is mentioned both in-game and in Norse mythology that the Vanir god, Freyr, rules over Alfheim, but what exactly that entails is unknown. Elves were often worshipped by Germanic peoples, but their specific role within Norse mythology is entirely vague. Helheim is the next realm that Kratos travels to, and it is presented as a frigid world with freezing winds and desolate landscapes. It is a harsh, torturous place for the dead, where they will be outfitted and trained for the inevitable war at Ragnarok. A massive ship is also constructed there to ferry them out of Helheim once Ragnarok comes. During the game, Helheim is currently overpopulated due to the lack of the Valkyrie's presence in taking warriors to Valhalla. We also see a massive bird in the distance, although it goes unmentioned. In Norse mythology, Helheim, also called just Hel, or the Underworld, is indeed the realm of the dead, although its physical description is a bit more vague than God of War depicts. Anyone who dies, including the gods, that are not chosen by the Valkyries to be taken to Valhalla, go to Helheim. In most texts of Norse mythology, Helheim is believed to be merely a continuation of life for most that go there, where the souls of the dead continue to eat, sleep, drink, and fight. While one source, again the same Christian one as before, discusses Helheim as a much darker and unpleasant place, this doesn't seem to be the usual depiction. As for the army of the dead, this idea is taken from a single mention from a seer discussing Ragnarok, when Loki leads all of Hel's own people to fight against the gods. Despite this being seemingly the only mention of an army of the dead, it has entered popular culture. The massive ship of the dead is called Naglfar, and is made up of the untrimmed nails of the dead. Although it is mentioned that Loki and the Jotnar will sail Naglfar at Ragnarok, it also says that the ship belongs to Muspelheim, not Hel. The massive bird is seemingly a reference to one of the three roosters that will crow at the start of Ragnarok, one in Asgard, one in Jotunheim, and one in Hel. Niflheim and Muspelheim are two other realms that Kratos can optionally traverse, and both take the form of challenge areas. Muspelheim is shown to be a realm of rock and fire, with rivers of lava and erupting volcanoes. It is said to be the home of Surtur, the fire giant, who will take his gleaming sword at Ragnarok and destroy Asgard. This is all pretty much accurate from Norse mythology, although Muspelheim is never visited in any tales, and is additionally home to an army of fire giants that will follow Surtur at Ragnarok. Niflheim, on the other hand, is shown as a bleak, desolate area covered in cursed mist. According to the game, the dwarven craftsman, Ivaldi, turned the mists of Niflheim into a cursed weapon. A large, shuffling maze is the major feature of this realm. In Norse mythology, Niflheim is a primordial realm of cold mist and ice, meant to be elementally opposed to Muspelheim. Niflheim is potentially a later creation in Norse mythology, and is occasionally used interchangeably with Helheim. At the beginning of time, the fire of Muspelheim and the icy mist of Niflheim combined in the Great Void to create the first giant, Ymir. Jotunheim is the final realm that Kratos and Atreus visit, and is only seen briefly. In the game, it is shown as a sunny, barren land covered with mountains and little plant life. This is a rather stark contrast to the Jotunheim depicted in Norse mythology, which seems to be covered in dark forests, snow-covered mountains, and deep rivers. Jotunheim is separated from Asgard by a massive river that never freezes over, and the Jotnar living there subsist off of animals and fish. It is a grim and dark environment that most would not wish to live in, but generally it is believed to be far different than the extreme depictions in popular culture. The other realms, Svartalfheim, Vanaheim, and Asgard are not accessible within this game at this point in time, but it's highly likely that Kratos will visit the others at some point. Svartalfheim is the home of the dwarves and is located underground. We know almost nothing about this realm, but one mention of it says that there exist halls of gold there. Vanaheim is the land of the Vanir gods, which we'll discuss further shortly. Again, very little is known of this realm, but based on our understanding of Norse mythology, it's likely that this place is meant to be a very natural realm, covered in plant life and lacking the civilization and structures of Asgard. Based on the God of War concept art, Vanaheim was originally meant to be a very alien and lush world, filled with strange, vivid creatures and plants. Time will tell if the developers changed this depiction. Asgard, the home of the Aesir gods, is a wondrous and grand realm with a multitude of massive buildings and halls. Each of the gods and goddesses seem to have their own homes there, and additionally the Hall of Valhalla exists to house the chosen warriors who will fight for Odin when Ragnarok comes. Asgard is protected in multiple ways, including a massive wall surrounding the realm, and Heimdall, the Watcher, lives at the top of the Bifrost in order to stand guard. Let's move on now to discussing the various deities, starting with Odin. Odin, the Allfather, is at the head of the pantheon of Norse deities, and his relentless pursuit of knowledge and wisdom fills up much of the Norse tales. Although Odin doesn't appear in God of War, his presence is very much felt throughout the game, and he is mentioned a large number of times. This version of Odin is far darker than the one presented in the Norse texts we have, a maniacal ruler feared by practically everyone, willing to scheme, torture, and kill anyone he wishes to get what he wants. Within the backstory of God of War, Odin launched a genocidal war against the Jotnar, forcing them all to flee into hiding. Odin seeks total control over all nine realms, and has no patience for anyone getting in his way, even his own family. There are certainly elements of this found in Norse mythology, and Odin has often gone to extreme measures in order to obtain further knowledge. This does include hanging himself for 9 days from Yggdrasil, and plucking out his own eye to drink from Mimir's well. It is also true that Odin is not above using tricks and underhanded tactics to get what he wants, but in general he was a highly respected deity. While Odin is certainly concerned with the Jotnar's role to play in Ragnarok, and much of his time is spent trying to change the future, he isn't generally portrayed as genocidal. Odin himself is half-giant, he's had various children with Jotun women, and the gods will occasionally feast with Jotnar. As a side note, Odin's ravens appear throughout the game, but in actuality, Odin only possessed 2 ravens, Hugin and Munin, but they did go out on daily flights and return to him with information. Odin's wife also appears in the game in the form of Freya, the Witch of the Woods. Freya is a Vanir goddess, one of another tribe of deities hailing from Vanaheim, that came to Asgard after the war between the two tribes ended. This war seems to be a major focus of the backstory of God of War, but we know very little about the war and the Vanir gods in general. In the backstory of the game, Freya gave birth to Odin's son, Baldur, and used her magic to make him practically invulnerable. Odin married her for her knowledge of Vanir magic, but she eventually fled from him, and Odin placed a curse on her that forced her to remain on Midgard. This is overall a big departure from the mythology we know, principally because the wife of Odin, and mother of Baldur, is Frigg, not Freya. This is explained by Mimir in the game by saying that Frigg was merely a pet name used by Odin, so that Freya, a Vanir goddess, didn't get credit for doing anything good, such as giving birth to Baldur. While there are theories that Freya and Frigg are meant to be the same deity, it's generally believed they are separate goddesses. Additionally, in Norse mythology, Freya was given as a hostage after the end of the Aesir-Vanir War, along with her brother, Freyr, and her father, Njord. Freya was known as a goddess of beauty and fertility, in addition to being proficient in satyr magic and foresight. Satyr was a form of shamanism primarily focused on divination, but was also used for curses and other rituals. It was mostly performed by women, such as Freya and other wise women, and the use of it by gods like Odin is a subject of ridicule. As a side note, Kratos first encounters Freya due to an incident with a boar with golden bristles. This is likely a reference to a golden boar created by the dwarves, Brock and Sindri, that was given to Freya's brother, Freyr. Thor is another legendary deity that is largely absent from God of War, only making a very brief appearance at the end of the game. Throughout the game, Kratos hears a number of tales and mentions of Thor and his brutality. Thor is presented as a genocidal maniac, much like his father, savagely killing every giant he can get his hands on, as well as anyone else that troubles him. Using his hammer, Mjolnir, created by the dwarven brothers Brock and Sindri, Thor has practically wiped out the giant species, and is feared and hated by many. While elements of his character in God of War are definitely found in Norse mythology, such as being quick-tempered and a slayer of giants, he has been twisted in the same way as Odin. A good example of this is in the story of Hrungnir, the giant, as retold by Mimir in the game. Hrungnir was a powerful Jotun that was brought to Asgard to feast with the gods, and Mimir claims that Odin goaded Hrungnir into becoming drunk and boasting about killing the gods. Mimir says that when Thor showed up, he immediately smashed in Hrungnir's head. In the actual text, however, Hrungnir became drunk and began boasting of his own accord, and when Thor finally showed up, he asked who allowed this giant to come here and drink. When Hrungnir replied that Odin invited him, Thor refrained from killing him, and Hrungnir challenged Thor to a later duel, which Thor won. Small changes like this throughout the game serve to make most of the Aesir gods out to be darker and more ruthless, and the Jotnar to be more sympathetic. While Thor is definitely not a friend of giants, he did occasionally feast with them, and had his sons Magni and Modi with a Jotun woman. Magni and Modi's role in God of War is almost entirely fabricated, and very little is known of them in Norse mythology. It is mentioned by Mimir in the tale of Hrungnir that after Thor killed the giant, Hrungnir fell on top of Thor, pinning him to the ground. None of the gods could lift the body off of him, but Magni, who was only 3 nights old, managed to lift it easily. This is a true part of the story, showcasing his children's extreme potential. The only other mention of Magni and Modi is in the prediction of Ragnarok, when after their father dies, they will both inherit his hammer, Mjolnir. The god Baldur acts as the primary antagonist throughout God of War, in a role that perhaps most drastically diverts from Norse mythology. In the game, Baldur acts as a form of enforcer for his father, Odin, and continually pursues Kratos and Atreus. Baldur was blessed by his mother, Freya, to be invulnerable to all forms of damage, but also had the side effect of causing him unable to feel anything at all. This drove him mad, vowing never to forgive his mother for what she had done. In the end, Baldur's invulnerability is undone by a piece of mistletoe that had been forged into an arrow, carried by Atreus. Although Freya tried desperately to stop it, even willing to sacrifice herself so that Baldur would live, Kratos chose to kill Baldur before he murdered his mother. After Baldur's death, a great winter falls on Midgard, signaling the start of Ragnarok, which was not supposed to start for 100 more years at least. In Norse mythology, Baldur is known as the most handsome and cheerful of the gods, loved by everyone and everything. His only notable role in the mythology is his death, which was foretold by ominous dreams that he began to have. Odin went to a wise woman to find out about these dreams, and was told that Hel was being prepared for Baldur's arrival. Frigg, Baldur's mother, went to everything in the cosmos, such as rocks, metals, plants, poisons, animals, sticks, and everything else, and received an oath from them not to harm her son. The gods then amused themselves by throwing things and attacking Baldur with weapons that harmlessly bounced off. Loki, growing jealous and spiteful of the display, went to Frigg in disguise and asked her if she truly received oaths from everything. Frigg admitted that she didn't ask the small mistletoe plant, as she believed it too innocent to harm her son. Loki got some mistletoe and convinced Baldur's blind brother, Hodur, to throw it at Baldur, instantly killing the god. This event marked the inevitable approach of Ragnarok and the doom of the gods. Baldur is later returned to life after Ragnarok, bringing gladness to everyone's hearts. Mimir is another one of the principal characters in God of War, providing much of the information to the player about the Norse gods and tales. He is first encountered trapped in a tree, missing one eye, and states that he has been kept there for 109 winters, and Odin tortures him daily. Kratos cuts off his head and takes it to Freya to reanimate it. Mimir claims that he came to Midgard from a faraway land and had been traveling for some time. He says he is known as the smartest man alive and knows everything about the gods and their dealings. In Norse mythology, Mimir was indeed exceptionally wise and was often a counselor to the gods. Odin first spotted him in Jotunheim, where Mimir was the possessor of a well that contained one of the roots of Yggdrasil, and its water provided great wisdom to those who drank it. Odin came to the well, asking for a single drink, to which Mimir replied that he must pluck out one of his all-seeing eyes first and place it in the well. Odin promptly did so and took a deep drink from the water, becoming even wiser. Later, after the Aesir-Vanir War, hostages were exchanged, as was custom in Norse culture, with Freya, Freyr, and Njord coming to Asgard, and the Aesir god Hainir and Mimir being sent to Vanaheim. Mimir is never explicitly stated to be a god or a Jotun, so it's unclear exactly where he came from or why he was sent to Vanaheim. The Vanir believed that Hainir had the makings of a chieftain, and so they made him one immediately. Mimir provided him with counsel, and Hainir earned a great reputation. But whenever Mimir was absent, Hainir could only respond to questions with, "Let others decide." When this occurred enough times, the Vanir grew angry, thinking the Aesir tricked them, and so they cut off Mimir's head and sent it to Odin. Odin embalmed it with herbs and chanted over it with magic to bring it back to life. Odin would then often carry Mimir's head around with him, bringing it to his ear for wisdom. Tyr is an interesting case, as much of the information that God of War provides for him has little basis in Norse mythology. In the game, Tyr is seen as practically the only loved deity in the Norse pantheon, a great and just God of War that traveled the realms making peace among races, rather than starting wars. He would also often collect pieces of other cultures and shared knowledge with them, becoming a natural leader and symbol of peace. Even the Jotnar, enemies of the Aesir, liked Tyr enough to trust him. Tyr worked to prevent his father, Odin, from entering Jotunheim and slaughtering the giants, until eventually he was killed for opposing Odin. In Norse mythology, Tyr is a god of war and of law, two concepts which were heavily intertwined in Norse and Germanic culture. Although the game seems to portray Tyr as the only god of war in the Norse pantheon, Thor and Odin were both also called upon in times of battle, for different reasons. Tyr is not mentioned in many Norse tales, and is primarily associated with the binding of Fenrir, the great wolf prophesied to devour Odin at Ragnarok. The gods feared Fenrir and wanted to bind him to prevent his role in Ragnarok, and so they had the dwarves craft a magical ribbon that would be unbreakable. They brought it to Fenrir, telling him they wanted to test his strength, but Fenrir suspected there was trickery involved. The wolf agreed to be bound only on the condition that one of the gods placed their hand in his mouth as a sign of good faith. None of the gods were willing, except for Tyr, known for his courage. When Fenrir found that he could not break the ribbon, He bit off Tyr's right hand, and Tyr became known as a one-handed god. Loki is one of the most important figures in Norse mythology, responsible for many events in the tales, and particularly responsible for the death of Balder. In God of War, we learn that at the end of the game, when visiting Jotunheim, that Atreus' mother was actually a Jotun, making Atreus half-giant, half-god, and half-mortal. Additionally, we learn that Atreus was originally going to be named Loki, as chosen by his mother. Other references mention that his mother was actually known as Laufey, and some runes on the mural in Jotunheim seem to have them naming Kratos as Farbaudi. Atreus's function as Loki within Norse mythology is minimal in the game, but there are a few potential references to his role in the future of the series. In Norse mythology, Loki is the child of Farbaudi, a Jotun male, and Laufey, a woman that is potentially either a Jotun or potentially one of the Aesir. It's never exactly specified, and there is no further information on Loki's parentage or childhood. At some point, Odin met Loki, and the two formed a blood oath together, that no drink would be served to one that was not brought to the other, meaning they would both be treated with equal respect. Though Loki's tongue and mischievous nature would often get him and the other Aesir gods in trouble, they always tolerated him due to this oath. On another note, Loki is the father of a number of other figures in the mythology, including the goddess Hel, the wolf Fenrir, and the Midgard serpent, also called Jormungandr. Although Hel and Fenrir are seemingly absent from the game, at least at this point in time, the Midgard serpent is present at the Lake of Nine in Midgard. We don't get many interactions with Jormungandr, although we do go inside him at one point, but it's clear that he is no friend to the gods, and is a very ancient creature. In Norse mythology, the Midgard serpent is only seen a couple times. Once when Thor goes fishing in an attempt to smash its head in, and then again at Ragnarok, when Thor and the serpent kill each other. It is mentioned in the game that it is believed that the Midgard serpent has already experienced Ragnarok, the cataclysmic event of the end times, and has actually come back in time since then. He also mentions that Atreus seems familiar to him, and on a mural in Jotunheim, there seems to be a depiction of a snake coming out of Atreus' mouth. It definitely seems as if they're going to continue with the concept of Loki being the father of Jormungandr and possibly others, but in Norse mythology, Loki is never really shown interacting with his children, and their existence is generally used as an insult against him. Future content in the series will tell exactly what they plan to do with Loki and his children, as it's just too early to say. That's about the extent of notable deities present in God of War, but there are a number of other entities and creatures taken from Norse mythology. Throughout the game, Kratos and his son continually meet with two dwarves, Brock and Sindri, who also act as their personal blacksmiths. Sindri is presented as an extreme germaphobe, highly detailed and fastidious in his work. His brother Brock, however, is far more gruff, with blue skin due to extensive working with silver with his bare hands, and is better at shaping metal than his brother. Both brothers were highly respected as craftsmen, and were responsible for forging Thor's hammer, Mjolnir, an act they seemed to regret. They went on to make the Leviathan axe for Faye, which ended up in the hands of Kratos. In Norse mythology, Sindri, sometimes referred to as Eitri, is the brother of Brokkr, and the two were responsible for creating Mjolnir, Freyr's golden boar, and a golden ring that duplicated itself 8 times every 9th night. These things were created due to Loki going to the brothers and boasting that the dwarves that made Odin's spear and other legendary creations were unrivaled by other craftsmen. Loki bet his own head that Brokkr and his brother could not make anything to rival what the sons of Ivaldi had made. The brothers set out to create 3 things, with Eitri working the forge and Brokkr working the bellows, being told not to stop working them for even a moment. Loki attempted to sabotage the two by turning into a fly and biting Brokkr. This failed twice. But while working on the third creation, Loki bit Brokkr on the eyelid, and he was forced to wipe the blood from his eye. This caused the hammer, Mjolnir, to come out with a shorter handle than normal, meaning it could only be wielded with one hand. Despite this, the gods judged these creations, and the dwarves won the bet, happy to claim Loki's head. Loki informed them, however, that to take his head, they must cut his neck, and his neck was not part of the deal. Angry, Brokkr sewed his mouth shut instead. Valkyries are present in the game in the form of an optional side quest, with 9 of them present in the game that Kratos can fight. These Valkyries have been cursed by Odin to remain in a physical form, which eventually drove them to insanity. Sigrun, their leader, sealed the Valkyries away in order to prevent further destruction. Kratos eventually frees all 9 Valkyries from their physical forms, returning their sanity. This concept of a physical form making a Valkyrie insane is fabricated for the game, as Valkyries in Norse mythology would often intermingle with mortals, and are often daughters of human royalty. Although it's true that Valkyries are described as supernatural creatures capable of flight and other abilities, there are a number of them that are mentioned as being serving maids for the Einherjar in Valhalla. Sigrun was indeed the leader of a group of Valkyries, and all of the names were taken from different mythological sources. There are various dragons present in the game, although likely in a much different form than the Norse peoples would have imagined them. First, Hraesler, who Kratos and Atreus encounter in the mountain in Midgard, seems to be a made-up creation for the game, along with Baldur's dragon. Fafnir is a dwarf that had turned into a dragon due to his greed in both the game as well as Norse mythology. The other dragons present are Oter and Regin, but in Norse mythology, Oter was killed by Loki while he was in, of course, the form of an otter, and Regin was killed while still a dwarf by the hero Sigurd after he slew Fafnir. The other notable dragon from Norse mythology that is not present in the game is Nidhogg, who continually gnaws on both the roots of the World Tree, as well as the corpses of those who are in Hell because of murdering, adultery, or oath-breaking. Dragons were often seen as symbols of strength and bravery by the Vikings. Many of the enemies you encounter in the game are either based on the Jotnar, such as ogres and trolls, or are highly embellished entities, like the Draugr. Draugr from Norse folklore are corpses reanimated by force of will, generally with some semblance of intelligence and increased strength. Though they feature some traits similar to the concept of a zombie, they also bear similarities to vampires, such as drinking the blood of victims. Generally, however, they would often remain in the mound or tomb where they were buried, protecting any treasure buried there. Much of the magical and supernatural traits related to the enemies in the game were created for a more exciting experience, however. Overall, despite the differences between Norse mythology and God of War, the game features a huge number of references and connections to the mythological tales, as well as Norse and Germanic folklore. The developers clearly went to great lengths to include as much lore as they could, while also making up some of their own. Some elements of the backstory, such as the Jotun smith Thaumur, were created for the game, but seemed to fit in just as well as the content taken from other material. Although they did need to change certain concepts, such as making the Aesir gods much more feared rather than respected, and making the Jotnar more sympathetic rather than troublesome, the game has done wonders to introduce many people to the interesting world of Norse mythology. Time will tell where they go from here, and how they reconcile certain elements of the mythology, but God of War is clearly a labor of love from a group that enjoys the unique setting of Norse mythology.